Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This program is about a process that I call diaprax, simply the combination of two words. The last part is praxis, or prax, diaprax. Praxis is simply the Greek word for practice. Well, what is it that we have to practice? Well, it's the first word, the dialectic. So it's dia, dialectic, prax, praxis, diaprax. Well, this dialectic is important to understand. The Bible says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices or his schemes. And he has a method, and he has a pattern that he uses. And it is subtle, and it's important that we understand it. Now, we find that pattern demonstrated for us, given to us by God, so that we would not be ignorant, and it's found in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. We find one who entices, and also one could not entice, by the way, without there being a drawing away. In other words, there has to be something in us that draws us into the environment and the participation of the enticer. And so that's the dialectical process. The dialectic, if you take a philosophy class, you've heard of Hegel. Lots of men are made notoriety of themselves because they applied the dialectic in many different ways. Personally, existentialism, pragmatism, socialism, communism, globalism, all kinds of fascism. It doesn't matter if you go national or global or individual or, you know, community, whatever. It just is an application of a pattern that we all, by the way, have done. It is our fallen human nature. But see, if you're a humanist, you would look at human nature, Hume of the earth, man. God created man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man. He became a living soul. Well, the definition of the soul for a humanist is wrapped up in the material. It's not wrapped up in the breath of God, because the breath of God is spiritual and it's above the material. It is not temporal. And so, therefore, the humanists have to, in a way, talk us out of the spiritual or redefine the spiritual. The spiritual is no longer above us, as Hegel would say, in the beyond the stars, but is within us. And that is a feeling of identity, of social identity, of environmental identity. And therein we find our identity from the world we are in. Well, all that we find in the world, God says, for all that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is the foundation of the dialectical process. And we find that, again, demonstrated for us, for our understanding, in the events that took place recorded in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Satan created an environment. Now, today they call it climate control, environment control. A facilitator is a person who is trained to create an environment in such a way to rearrange the discussion or the elements in the room that participants can change from one way of thinking, from one paradigm, to another way of thinking, to another paradigm, and do it easily. See, facilitation means to make change easy. Well, that's what Satan did with Eve in the garden. It was a very easy process, very complex, very subtle, but it makes it easy for the person who is participating to move away from a particular way of thinking to another way of thinking. Or from one paradigm to another paradigm. That's why they call it a shift, paradigm shift. Because in this paradigm shift, it's really a change. It's a change to a shifty paradigm. Isn't that Satan, shifty? Well, now we have a culture of shiftiness. Not on solid ground, not on a rock, but on shifting sand. And you try to pin people down on truth, and they're shifting all over the place, sort of shifting eyes. In fact, if they can't shift anymore, they just glaze over. They don't know what to do. And because they're not interested in the truth, unless it incorporates something that the Hume part of man has to have for man to be human. You have to incorporate an earthiness of man, and that is the feelings. Now, we know that with our senses, that's feelings, our sensuousness, we get whatever's in the environment into our mind to think about it. This is the only way we can do it temporally, is through the touch, taste, sight, smell, sound, those five senses. And once whatever's in the environment triggers the sensation, it gets to our mind. We look into the environment. If the environment triggered neurons, certain neurons that produce pleasure, we automatically, you can't not do this. I mean, originally. Now, eventually, you can set in your mind, purpose in your mind, not to attend to the things of this world, i.e. the pleasures of this life, not to be a lover of pleasure. Not that pleasure's wrong. It's just that when it comes between your obedience to God, then you put it aside. It is no longer your agenda in life. That's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That all comes from the environment and something within us that the environment can stimulate, which we've talked about in the past, dopamine, just one of several neurotransmitters associated with pleasure. And then when that chemical is secreted in our brain, a physiological, there's a language, there's a logic to this physics, then our mind automatically looks into the environment. Muscles are activated, memory is activated, awareness is heightened to what produced this pleasure. And I've shared this over and over. The child, when you give them a toy and they're playing with it, they're not in love with the toy. They're in love with the dopamine the toy is stimulating. See, they're in love with the pleasure, the experience of pleasure. And so what Satan has to do, all he has to do is find what it is in you that you secretly, see, because you've been told this is wrong. You know, Paul says that there's the law of the flesh. And who can deliver me from this body of death? Now, here's the Apostle Paul saying, I have something in me that's constantly harassing me. It's always there. In fact, he said, with my mind, I love the law of God. So there's something that reveals this law of the flesh, condemns this law of the flesh, and yet I can't get rid of this law of the flesh because I'm walking around in this body, and it's a body of death. And of course, his response is in the last part of Romans, the 7th chapter, Jesus Christ. And so in Christ, and only in Christ, can you overcome, or has this law of the flesh become overcome, or you are victorious over it only in him and via the work of the Holy Spirit. But the dialectic has to rearrange that spirit and redefine Christ. This is the Antichrist. People think Antichrist is somebody who comes along and says, there is no Christ. No, Christ has been redefined, making him user-friendly, non-offensive, readily adaptable to change. And this series of teachings, I'm going to go into a man, his name is Theodore Adorno. He was a member of the Frankfurt School. And one of the members of the Frankfurt School, Walter Benjamin, studied scriptures. You know, he studied scriptures with the intent of understanding the patterns, the system that Satan used to deliver man from God, to deliver man from a particular way of thinking. Instead of saying, don't believe in God, just don't praxis this way of thinking. Don't practice this paradigm. And that the dialectic has to recognize these different paradigms. And so the Frankfurt School did that, and they find them in Scripture. And a little history of the Frankfurt School, before I get to Adorno. They were originally begun, of course, they're built on Karl Marx, but they had a different form of Marxism. It was called transformational Marxism. 1911, George Lukács and Karl Korsch went to the first communist, well, a communist international, not the first one, in 1911. And they introduced a form of Marxism that was rejected by the traditional hardline Marxists. Because the hardline Marxists had a particular way of thinking. They had a paradigm. They believed in Marx, but they preached and they taught Marx. There was no dialogue. There was no discussion. This is what Marx said. You do it. Da, 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 da. And if you don't do it, they shot you. That's a hard line. You could actually say they're fundamentalists, because you pick up Marx's work and he's the foundation. It's fundamental. They're religious. because there's no right to question anything. Marx said it, and therefore it is. And they're extremists. In other words, they're willing to kill you and even die themselves for the cause. So the traditional Marxists were fundamental religious extremists. Of course, they wouldn't say they were religious. They would say they were scientific. But religion is that which is sacred, and sacred is that which you will not question. And so they actually were opposite. In fact, Marx would criticize these writers. He wrote on the Holy Family, criticized the Hegelians because they talked about some spirit out there that gave them direction. Now, it might be just the spirit of man, but it was not a changing process. It was rigid. It was structured. It was absolute, and therefore no dialogue could be involved in whatever change was taking place in the current time. It was just simply rigidity. And so these transformational Marxists showed up into this environment, which was a hostile environment to their way of thinking. They said, okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to have Marx. Of course, we couldn't be here if it wasn't for Karl Marx and his dialectical materialism. And that was the hardliners, by the way, dialectical materialism, because these guys were historical materialists. Now, I don't want to confuse you here, but it was a different paradigm. See, God says, my ways are not your ways, neither your thoughts my thoughts. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, my paradigm, my way of thinking, is not your paradigm, your way of thinking. See, God is spirit. His way of thinking is absolute. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He reveals himself to us through his word, and we have to accept his word on faith. And as Jesus said, what my Father commands, he didn't say, well, I think about it, and I evaluate it, and look at the current situation, determine if it's worth. No, he said, what my Father commands, that's what I do. And then he said, he who does my Father's will on heaven, in heaven is, excuse me, he who does my Father's will in heaven, who is my, excuse me, he who does my Father's will in heaven, talking about us here on earth, is my brother, my sister, and my mother. So he's rigid. He's fundamentalist. What Dad says goes. He's religious. You don't question Dad. And he's extremist. You're willing to hang in there, you know, endure to the end. Willing to die for the truth. That's a fundamental religious extremist. Jesus, if you want to attack fundamental religious extremism, you're going to have to go after God's Son or redefine him. See, that's a better way. Instead of saying, well, Jesus really didn't live, let's just redefine him. And that's what the dialectical process does. We change facts and truth into changing facts. Well, what does that mean? Shirley McCune spoke at a governor's conference, and that's exactly what she said. We have a new education system. We're going to go to changing facts, which means I might say 2 plus 2 is 4, and you would say, well, no, it's 6. And we might disagree for a while, and because I like you, I will change a fact into a changing fact by saying, well, I think 2 plus 2 is 4. See, therefore, I took that which is certain, unchanging, into a realm of uncertainty for the sake of human relationship. So I moved away from touch, taste, sight, smell, sound into a sixth sense, and that's my desire to be approved by man, my desire to relate with the creation, to look into the creation. I like you, you stimulate dopamine, and I like that pleasure, so I am going to treat you like a toy, a child treats. They're not in love with the toy. I wouldn't be in love with you. I'm in love with the pleasure you produce in my life. That is the foundation of humanism. In fact, that's our carnal human nature. What can I get out of this situation for myself? But the problem to the transformational Marxists was that led to capitalism. In other words, an individual simply used that, what can I get out of this for myself, for himself only. And so they said, okay, we're going to change this paradigm. Even these traditional Marxists are using, we're going to incorporate Sigmund Freud. And of course, these guys said, you're nuts. You know, they unfortunately, they didn't shoot him, you know. And there was enough Marxism in them, I guess they just figured, okay, get out of here. But they met in Thuringia, Germany, 1923, started the Institute of Social Research, ended up in Frankfurt, Germany, and there started what became the Frankfurt School. Now, they wouldn't have been known as the Frankfurt School except for events that took place in 1933 when Hitler became chancellor. These guys left Germany. for their life. Walter Benjamin actually fled, was captured, or was about to be captured in Spain and committed suicide. But most of the members of this institution ended up into the United States of America. They went directly into our universities. Paul Lazarsfeld went to Columbia. He was the teacher of James Coleman, who our Supreme Court, our highest court of our land, turned to James Coleman for education decisions, how to restructure our education system from a student of Paul Lazarsfeld, a member of the Frankfurt School. And therein, we progressively moved away from a didactic, patriarchal, above, below, right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, biblical paradigm, which is built on contrast. 2 + 2 = 4 cannot be any other number. Way of thinking, facts-based society, and our education system was changed into a transformational Marxist outcome. That was what outcome-based education was all about. We're not going to go back to basics, which means we're not going to go back to a biblical structure. We're not going to go back to children obeying their parents. We're not going to go back to truth and facts. We're going to go to changing facts and changing truth, and everything is now relative. And this all, of course, John Dewey was pushing it, but he didn't have all the faculties and making it applicable to the general public. It still stayed in its philosophical, highfalutin terminology, and you had to do a lot of laboratory manipulation. But these guys figured out a way to make it a daily life. To draw us out. See, Satan entices. There's something he has to draw out of us. And therein, we can willingly participate. And therein, it was just an issue of making it more subtle, more deceptive for public consumption. And that was the result of the Frankfurt School. Well, Paul Lazarsfeld, like I said, went to Columbia. Theodore Adorno, I'm going to get to him. He went to Berkeley, wrote the book Authoritarian Personality, foundational work for every certified teacher in your community. Every certified teacher, Christian included, has to sit in a college class and learn to apply Bloom's taxonomies built off of Theodore Adorno, a Marxist, a transformational Marxist who kicked out of the traditional Marxists because the traditional belief that right was right and wrong was wrong. It was just that Marx was right and everybody else was wrong. These guys said, no, we're not going to do right and wrong. We're going to come in and how do you feel? What do you think? We have a facilitator practice the very same process as Satan practiced on the woman in the garden, now in the classroom, and then on the teachers and the parents and all of society, and move society to a transformational culture where everything is now relative and we live in a world of change. See, Marx says we all come up with our opinions. The philosophers, you're thinking, you're dissatisfied with what's going on the way it is right now. You have feelings that are, you know, you just don't like the way things are going. You're questioning them. And that means you're dissatisfied. And so you now become a philosopher. You start thinking. And he said the philosophers all interpret the world in many different ways. You see the world a little different, somebody else, and therein you set your way, and they set their way, and you butt heads, and we have war. He said, the objective, however, is to change. Let's just practice change. Let's get in the rooms and dialogue. Let's have that little group grade, diverse group of students dialoguing to a consensus over social, humanist, Hume issues. In a facilitated meeting, you need a facilitator because, according to social engineers, this is not normal. This doesn't naturally happen. And then they turn around and say, we have to do what is natural to man because that's a foundation of humanism. You talk about deception and foolish Americans who have bowed down, you know, and eaten from and drinking from this fountain, this filthy fountain. Well, look at us today as a culture. I contend that if not all of them, at least most of the transformational Marxists, the Frankfurt School, were all involved in homosexuality. Their whole structure was a promotion of homosexuality. They wouldn't come out and say it. They would, except maybe to themselves, but they certainly knew how to lay out a structure of permissiveness. And that was the key to incorporating Sigmund Freud into the mix. Because Sigmund Freud was dialectic as Marx was dialectic. Sigmund Freud was more focused upon the feelings aspect, the individual aspect, although he was socialist. He didn't see the individual coming out, that the truth was not within the individual. Truth was in the social setting. The environment determined the person. The same scenario, the same way of thinking of Karl Marx, except he was social in his emphasis. And so Marx brought the sociology, Freud brought the psychology. Have you ever taken a class in social psychology? Do you realize that you sat in a class of transformational Marxism? They are identically one and the same. And so every teacher studies from a Marxist training manual. Now, nobody told them that. I earned my teacher's degree on Bloom's taxonomy. Bloom, who says on page 32, we recognize the point of view that truth and knowledge is only relative and that there are no lasting truths for all times and all places, a simple paraphrase from Karl Marx, who said, in the eyes of the dialectical process, nothing is absolute, nothing is, everything is changing. See, and so what we have is a reapplication, a rewriting of Karl Marx in the textbooks. Now, that was a cognitive domain. In fact, the book said in page 6 that this is a taxonomy of psychology. And later on, they talk about the conscience being different than the superego. The conscience ties you to the voice of the parent. The conscience ties you to above, below, right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, traditional, patriarchal paradigm, way of thinking. But the superego, remember Freud, superego, ties you to the village. It is horizontal. It is not vertical. It is horizontal. Your feelings are incorporated. The feelings of the time change the facts of the past, the truths of the past. So now we have changing facts and changing truth. And everything now becomes relative. That's what the superego. And Bloom says this taxonomy is the development. That means you got to start someplace and develop it. You got to grow it from one place to another. And it's the development of the superego. It was a socialist, globalist, communist, Marxist manuscript. Every teacher in this nation to be certified. In California, even to homeschool, you have to be a certified teacher, which means you have to learn the methods of Karl Marx and apply them in your home. You know, the Marxists are looking at Americans and saying, you're the stupidest bunch of people on the face of the earth. And you know what? They're not wrong. We are. Why? Because we rejected God. We rejected His foundation. We rejected solid rock and just enjoyed walking on the beaches of the shifting sand. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of money, because money, you store it up, is for pleasure rather than lovers of God. And so the Frankfurt School, let me continue, Herbert Marcuse went down to San Diego. He wrote a book, Eros and Civilization, the Bible of the 60s. And I've spent some time on programs talking about his work, and I may get into depth later on. Now, the other men, I won't really go into much depth. Eric Fromm, definitely. He traveled all over the country, and his works were really, Escape from Freedom. That was the other very foundational book for the changing of this nation. He makes Marx lovable to the Democratic Party, to the liberals, and made him acceptable. And that was the whole agenda of the Frankfurt School, because when they were writing in Europe, in German, they would write Marxist theory. But then when they came to the United States, instead of writing Marxism, they would change the word Marxist in their document to democratic or to critical theory. Now, that ties to Socratic critical thinking. How is that relative? What relevance does that have? Well, our Supreme Court on Roe v. Wade, they went to Socratic critical thinking, which means life begins at birth. They rejected a biblical structure where life begins at conception. Do you understand the significance of paradigms? And so why did they get that thinking? They got it because of critical theory, which means you must question all things. Unless you can see it, unless I can see that baby being born, it is not a living thing. Unless it's in front of me. This was the whole idea of what happened in Germany with the Holocaust. Well, I don't see any Jews dying. You know, maybe I did over there, but maybe they deserved it. You know, we don't know. And I'm not going to say anything because if I do, I'm going to be joining them. But as long as they're behind closed doors, as long as you don't see it, it's out of your mind and therefore it doesn't exist. Do you realize we're doing the very same structure, the very same paradigm, and it's the liberals who pushing the very same, they're pushing anti-Holocaust thinking and using the very same structure that justified the Holocaust. Well, how did they do that? Because they went to Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx and they found their solution for life's problems there instead of turning to the Word of God. Do you realize we fight not flesh and blood? This is a spiritual battle. And why would the process in Genesis 3:1-6 become now the very foundation? Don't you think what happened with Satan and when the woman in the garden and Adam then abdicated? Don't you think that was spiritual? And yet you pick up Bloom's taxonomy, it's the same structure, identical, same pattern, same system, same paradigm, and they call it academics? Well, okay, let's get back to Adorno. Theodore Adorno, his book, The Authoritarian Personnel, again, if you get on the effective domain in Bloom's taxonomies, on page 166, he uses the German word Weltanschauung. And then at the bottom, he has footnotes, one footnote. And he lists two men that reflect his paradigm, his taxonomy, and I'll get into this with Adorno's material. And they were Theodore Adorno, his book, Authoritarian Personality, Berkeley, 1950, and Eric Fromm's book, Escape from Freedom, around the same time. And they were both talking about what happened in Germany, but now focusing on America, how to restructure America to prevent fascism, which sounds good, but their agenda was to move it to communism, globalism, not on a national level, because that's traditional Marxism. They wanted to go transformational Marxism, which means think global, act local. See, and so they had to get people into the mood, into an environment, into a climate where they would willingly abdicate, like Adam did, abdicate a top-down system to human relationship. You know, when Adam looked at Eve and he said, you know what, I like her. I choose human relationship over you, God. See, God said, why did you hearken to the voice of your wife? Why did you let human relationship, the dialogue, how do you feel and what do you think, overpower or overweigh or unbalance my word? Why did you reject my paradigm? My way of thinking is not your way of thinking, Adam. And so since Adam's time until Christ, see, Jesus redeems us. He is our propitiation. He's the one who can bring us back to the right way of thinking, the right paradigm. And it used to bless this nation, but now Christians are in the church growth, emerging church, doing a group hug. How do you feel? What do you think? Practicing the very same pattern that Satan got Eve to practice in the garden in Eden. How did that happen? Well, we've had several decades of practicing this process in our classrooms, contributed by men from the Frankfurt School, and there were others as well. Well, we'll continue. Before we stop here, though, I want to encourage you to get on my website, authorityresearch.com, and check out the articles. They deal with this in greater detail. We'll return at the end of these messages.